ShareCare, helping you get younger, get guidance, get better care, get smart, get fit. Radio MD presents ShareCare Radio with Daria Long Gillespie, MD.
Hi, and welcome to ShareCare Radio. I'm Dr. Daria. And last week, we debuted our first episode of ShareCare Radio, giving you advice and answering your questions on how to be your healthiest, happiest in 2015. Check out last week's podcast with featured guest Dr. Mehmet Oz, celebrity trainer Dave Buhr, and top pediatrics expert Dr. David Hill on ShareCare.com and RadioMD online. Every week, we'll lead with the healthcare news of the week. So let's dive in. First, having trouble getting your kids to go to sleep at night or stay asleep? A new study in the Journal of Pediatrics shows that children who sleep in rooms with a TV or another small screen device, such as a smartphone or a tablet, get less sleep than children who have none of these devices in their rooms. Now, previous studies had shown a link between TV and sleep, but this one actually connected that with other gadgets as well. Not only did kids with the devices in their room sleep less, they also reported feeling more fatigue and more sleepiness. It's important to remember because poor sleep has been associated with everything from poor eating habits and obesity to difficulty in school, moodiness, and attention problems, none of which we really want to be seeing or encouraging in our kids. So what do you do? American Academy of Pediatrics advises no screen time for children under the age of 2. I know that can be a challenge, but really it's very important. And they say for older children and teens, if you're using screen time just for entertainment purposes, should be limited to 1 to 2 hours a day. Now, of course, if they're using it to do homework and all, that doesn't count towards that, but strictly for entertainment purposes, limit it to 1 to 2 hours a day for kids and teens. Now, moving from children and sleep and TV to another topic that really captured our attention last year was the Ebola virus. Now, remember, the Ebola virus infected 20,000 people in 2014 and killed 8,000. And the epidemic is slowing, but still new infections are on the way and there are rising death toll. However, we've had some good results and good news from the development of vaccines. And that's in phase one studies. Those were done in healthy volunteers in countries where Ebola was not epidemic, like US, Canada, UK, and countries in Africa that aren't struggling with the Ebola virus. They showed that it had a good safety profile. And that means that there were no adverse effects and that would keep it from being tested in more people. And they adjusted the doses, and they also showed that it can cause the body to create antibodies, which is what you need from a vaccine. Now, next step is that they're going to go from testing in people in countries where Ebola is not epidemic and moving to countries that are struggling with the epidemic for larger studies. And those are likely going to be starting as early as late January and February. Now, the goal here is if everything goes according to plan, is that by mid-2015, they may actually see a release of an Ebola vaccine to be used in a population. So that's fantastic news. Along the lines of developing treatments and vaccines for Ebola is that what we are afraid of is that the Ebola virus could mutate, which means it would build a resistance to the treatments and vaccines, the ones that we're discovering right now. So to combat this, there's a research lab in Cambridge, Massachusetts, studying the genetics of Ebola, and they're looking at it to help them understand how to treat the disease and also to understand how it could mutate to help us stay one step ahead of it. Lastly, in Ebola is some more good news. And that is an area in the southeast region of Sierra Leone has been declared Ebola-free. It's the first region to be clear, and it's been shown that even though there were 24 deaths of it last year, as in August, it has not had a recorded case since November 26th, which means that it has achieved the WHO's benchmark for being Ebola-free. And that's fantastic news that they're getting a handle on the Ebola virus there. Moving from Ebola to a topic possibly more close to home, and that is birth control. And a small but growing number of young women are giving up hormonal birth control instead to use things like natural family planning, also known as fertility awareness methods. And you may have heard this in the past, known as the rhythm method. Now, it teaches women to track their menstrual cycles, their body temperature, other changes in their body to really know when they're ovulating. Women who try this say that the reason is that they didn't want to use hormonal contraceptives and were worried about the side effects of it. But experts from the CDC and the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology caution that it's one of the least effective methods of birth control, and that one in four women who use this method could get pregnant, even if they're using it correctly. That's mainly because it's especially difficult to do exactly according to the book. It requires daily attention to signs and symptoms, monitoring your period, monitoring your temperature. And if you have an irregular period, or you get sick or something else, it could be even harder. So it's very difficult. If you have difficulty remembering to take your pill every day at the same time, this is going to be even more challenging. So in addition, just miscalculating ovulation by one day can lead to pregnancy, which if you're using this for birth control, would not be effective. So my take is that while this is a great method for women who are trying to get pregnant to know the windows that they may be ovulating, it's not great the opposite way around. Not a great method of birth control. It requires a lot of work to stay right on top of it. Moving back to another virus that many of us may have seen in the news and in our own lives in the last couple of months, and that's the flu. We are about midway through flu season right now, and it's been a tough one already, according to CDC officials. If any of you got the flu yourselves, you know this firsthand. CDC Director Dr. Tom Frieden said the disease has been particularly bad for people 65 and older, and five more children have died since the last CDC reported figures, bringing the pediatric deaths to 26. Since this year's flu season began. Now, older adults, pregnant women, infants and children, and people with chronic medical conditions are at higher risk of complications of the flu. So if you are or care for somebody who's in that group and you start to develop symptoms of the flu, I want you to contact your physician because you may need antiviral medication. But I want you to remember you have to take that antiviral medication early, ideally in the first 24 hours of symptoms and definitely before 48 hours if you want it to have the effect. Now that's going to include reducing the severity of the illness, cutting the length of time you're sick, and reducing the length of time also that you're going to be contagious. So remember, if you're in that high-risk group, you get the symptoms of the flu, contact your doctor immediately to see if they think you could be a candidate for that antiviral medication to prevent you from having the serious complications that we can see. Moving on is a really fun study that I've enjoyed reading about, and that's out of the University College of London. It studied about 6,000 people, and they're all in their 60s, an average in their 60s, and asked whether they felt older or younger than their chronological age. They followed up with them 8 years later, and of those who reported feeling older, 24% of those people had died. However, of those who actually reported feeling younger than their age, only 14% had died. It shows that in many ways, you're only as old as you feel, and that how we think can have a major impact on our health. Realizing that you have control over this can lead people to take interventions, improving not only their well-being and their mindset, but their overall health. Now, factors associated with feeling younger include having a healthy weight, following your doctor's medical advice, having a sense of resilience, and optimism. All of these we know help people feel younger and also impact their health overall. Now, the great thing is that these are also factors over which we have control in our lives. So it's really something to look at, pay attention to, and keep you feeling and truly being younger than your chronological age. Now, lastly, for many of us throughout the country right now, we're in a deep freeze. I know where we are right now, it's colder than we're usually used to. And we're seeing temperatures and wind chills that many of us don't normally experience. So I want everybody to know today how to protect yourself, keep yourself safe in this cold weather. First of all, I want you to bundle up in warm layers for better insulation. Cover everything. Your fingers and your toes are at risk of frostbite in extreme cold because your body shunts blood from your extremities to your core to protect your main organs. So it's really important to wear waterproof mittens if there's a chance of getting wet too. Keep your fingers warmer and to also wear a pair of layered socks or layer your socks if you're going to be going out in the cold, especially if your boots are not insulated. I also want you to wear water, speaking of boots, to wear waterproof boots to keep your feet warm and dry. Make sure you have room to wiggle. A lot of us go out, we layer extra socks in there and we keep it really tight on our feet. We have no room for our toes to wiggle, and that actually makes it really cold, helps, and it cuts off the circulation. So remember, wear your boots, layer up, and it's going to really help you stay warm and help keep you protected and stay hydrated to avoid overexertion. Because the body uses a lot of energy to stay warm and you don't want to sweat and lose heat and get colder. That was the top health news of this past week. This is Dr. Daria with Share Care Radio. Thanks for listening and stay well.